be alone, but Paul knew that there was an important time he had to have every day where he and God spent time alone. So I want to talk to you about our walk with God. I think the great men and women of the Bible, and maybe you can challenge me to be and find something greater, but I think one of the greatest things that made them great in the Bible was the time they spent with God. All the education in the world, all the money in the world can't get you the greatness that Jesus gives you when you spend time with Him. That's why we sang that song, "I'm amazed that He invites me to spend the day with Him." Let's pray. Father, bless the preaching and the hearing of Your Word tonight. Open our ears, open heaven. Help us tonight to hear from You and to decide that You're worth us spending time alone with. For this day and forever. In heaven, we're going to get to spend all the time with You. But now we get to make a special time with You. May we do it because of this message, because of the life of the Apostle Paul. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, Jesus walked around with people. Think about it. The Son of God who came down, born among men, Emmanuel, His very name means God with us. Jesus walked with people. It blows your mind, but let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. You're going to have to move fast tonight because we've got lots of things going on tonight. But Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18, just listen to the Bible, and it says, "And Jesus, walking by the sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them," what does he say? "Follow me, come along with me, walk with me, and I will make you fishers of men." Jesus walked along and he says, "Guys, why don't you walk with me? Watch what I do. Listen to what I say. Do the things that I get to do." That was his invitation. It is still out there to today where he says, "Follow me." Second verse, John chapter 1. John, Gospel of John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 36. "And looking upon Jesus as he walked," this is John the Baptist, look in verse 35. "And again the next day after, John stood and saw, and two of his disciples also, and looking upon Jesus as he," what? Say it with me, what's the word? Verse 36. "As he," are you with me? John 1:36, "and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God." Jesus was just walking. Jesus wasn't flying in the air. Jesus wasn't going around and doing something spectacular. He was just walking in the midst. And John said, "Do you even know who's here? He's the Lamb of God. Come to take away the sins of the world." And here he is with us. John chapter 7, verse 1. Stay in the Gospel of John. Quickly go to John chapter 7 and verse 1. Sometimes Jesus is kind of careful where he walks. I hope you are too. I hope you would never walk into a pub. Maybe you have to run in there to go to the bathroom and then get right back out. All right? Can you imagine? There are some things that Jesus, some places Jesus didn't go to sometimes. And look here in John chapter 7, it says, "After these things," and the people didn't want him down in Jerusalem at that time. "And after these things, Jesus walked now up in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry," down in Jerusalem, "because the Jews sought to kill him." So here's the point. Jesus sometimes walked down in Jerusalem area, sometimes up in Galilee. I want to be where he is. I want to walk where he's walking. Sometimes we want Jesus to be in our back pocket, you know. I carry Jesus with me everywhere. That's not how we're supposed to live. You're supposed to go where he's going. You're supposed to listen to what his will is, what his desire is, where he wants to go. But Jesus was here. Think about it. John chapter 10, verse 23. John 10, 23. Verse 22 says, "And it was at Jerusalem, feast of the dedication, and it was winter." So it was a little cold. "And Jesus walked into" what? "In the temple in Solomon's porch." So I'm just giving you, throughout the Bible, there are these little phrases, probably you would read them and not even think about them, but get the idea. Jesus walked here. He would walk over there. He was here on this planet. He was walking along and he invites people to walk with him. Did you know he's not actually walking on this planet anymore? And yet he does still invite you to walk with him each and every day. You can walk with him. As a matter of fact, think about the disciples. Two of them are walking along. They're in Luke chapter 24. We won't go there just for time. But in Luke chapter 24, Jesus has been crucified. He's been buried. It's now 3 days later, and people are running around saying, "He's alive! He's alive! Jesus is back from the dead." And two of the disciples are going, "This can't be." So up comes this guy along them. He's kind of got his head down. Maybe he's got a hoodie on. I don't know. But they don't recognize Jesus. They don't see that this is really the same Savior that they had known 3 days earlier. So Jesus comes along and he says, "How's it going, guys?" With a Cork accent. And the guys go, "Don't you know what just happened? Our Savior, our Lord, just got killed. And it's now 3 days later and he's alive and we don't know what to make of it." And Jesus is walking along with them. And he says, "Oh, really?" And that sort of shocks you. And he just, during that time as they walked, and they were walking, oh, I don't remember how far it was, if somebody could correct me, but let's say it's a few miles. I'm just not even remembering. But it's a few miles that they're walking, and as they're walking, he's talking to them. And as he talked to them, he said, "Wasn't the Messiah supposed to die? Wasn't the scriptures clear about a coming Savior who had to die in the place of sinners?" And Jesus talked to them along the way. And when they got to where they were supposed to be, they said, "Why don't you come in, stranger, whoever you are? Maybe it's dark. Maybe it's just not clear. They can't really see who it is." And they say, "Come in and have dinner with us. We like talking to you." And as they sat down for dinner, Jesus reached out with his nail-scarred hands. And he picked up that bread and he began to thank God for it. And he broke that bread and he says, "Guys, you hungry?" And as they looked, they went, "It's Jesus!" And he disappeared right out of their sight. Must have been the most disappointing moment of their life, man. Wait a minute. He's been walking with us. We've been talking to the living Savior and we didn't even know it. Think about that. He sort of gave them an impression, "Guys, I can't physically be here, but you can still walk with me every day." You can. Romans chapter 8. I want to give you a quick scripture here. Here's a thought. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Romans chapter 8 verse 1. And this is one of the ways you know that you're saved. And this is one of the things that identify a Christian. Romans chapter 8 verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation." Really? Yes. "To them which are in Christ Jesus." 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If any man be in Christ, he's a what?" He's a what? All right. And so there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And look at the attitude. Look at the desire of the person who's a Christian, who walk not after the flesh anymore, but after the Spirit. So let me give you an illustration. How many enjoyed the chicken curry tonight? All right. So did any of you pass by the kitchen? Did anybody pass by the cafeteria and go, "Oh, chicken curry"? How many of you really looked forward to the chicken curry? Amen. All right. You're following the curry, aren't you? All right. So, you know, when your flesh sees something on the television and you know you should turn it off and yet you keep watching it, that's following the flesh. You understand what I'm saying? But then all of a sudden when you get invited out to a youth camp and your spirit says, "I gotta go," that's following the Spirit. You know, one of the marks that you know that you're saved is, even though your flesh may want to stay home, your spirit says, "I got to be at camp." You understand? One of the marks of a Christian is that I no longer go after the things that I might like, but I go after the things that are of God and that are of the Spirit. That's a mark of the Christian, and I hope you have that mark. I hope you have that desire that you follow after the Spirit of God. Now, what does that have to do with Paul? Well, Paul, Galatians chapter 1, where we're going to talk for just a few moments, Galatians chapter 1 lets you in on a little thing about Paul when he got saved. Galatians, so go to the right, you're in Romans, keep going till you hit Galatians chapter 1. I want you to see that Saul of Tarsus had known and learned so many prayers. He had learned how to talk to God, but he never walked with him. And here in Galatians, The first thing I want you to see is that Saul of Tarsus was not just told, "Why don't you pray, Saul?" I don't think Saul knew how to pray. Oh, he could quote prayers, and there are some people in this room who, when you went to primary school, you learned 20 prayers, didn't you? There was a list of prayers up there. Some of them were the novenas, and some of them were for Hail Marys, and some of them were the Lord's Prayer, and some of them were for the sick, and some, all of those prayers. But you didn't walk with Jesus. They were just words that you repeated. Here in Galatians, I want you to see, look in verse 13. Galatians chapter 1, verse 13. Paul says, "For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God, and I wasted it and profited. I made money. I benefited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. It pleased God," verse 16, "to reveal his son in me." That's when he got born again. "That I might preach him among the heathen." Immediately, when I got saved, verse 16, he says, "I conferred not with flesh and blood." That means he didn't talk to anybody. He didn't pick up the phone and say, "Hey, Mom. Hey, Jim." He didn't talk to anybody with flesh and blood. "Neither went I up to Jerusalem," where the bigwigs were, where Peter, James, and John were, where all the apostles were. Paul said, "I didn't go up to Jerusalem to see, to them which were apostles before me. But I went out into" where? Verse 17, stay with me. "But I went out into Arabia. And I returned again to Damascus after" how many years? Verse 18. 3 years. So, I want to talk to you how as soon as Saul of Tarsus got saved, he was forced to be alone for a while. Now, I was talking to a couple of the guys earlier, and I've been mulling this over in my mind. I don't know if I'm really, really right on this. But if you remember when Saul got saved, he's on the road to Damascus, right? And all of a sudden, a bright light appears, and Jesus speaks right to him. And I have to tell you, it must have been an amazing thing. All the people around saw this bright light. They heard this booming voice. They couldn't just hear the words. Everybody's on the ground. Saul is looking up and he says, "Is that you, Lord?" And Jesus says, "Yep, it's me. Are you finished fighting?" And Saul says, "What will you have me to do?" And the Lord says, "Go to Damascus and wait." So Saul, from that moment on, is blind. He can't see. So the guys who are with him, they're kind of, it's kind of like the mafia. These are his helpers that go and hurt people, okay? All right, the bruisers. You know, you got Vino, Gino, and Larry, and, you know, all the guys that are in the mafia with him. And these guys now are taking him by the hand and leading him, finishing the road to Damascus. They come to Damascus. They come to maybe it's a B&B, I don't know. And they drop Saul off at a house called Simon the... Who is it? Judas. Judas, somebody else. It wasn't Judas Iscariot, but anyway, he's in somebody's house named Judas, all right? But he's dropped off there. The other guys go get dinner. And Saul, what happens is he then begins to pray. One day, he doesn't eat. 2 days, he doesn't eat. 3 days, he sits and he waits. And you know what he's doing for the first time in his life? He's praying. He's talking back to that voice that talked to him 3 days earlier. And for the first time in his life, he's been stopped dead in his tracks. He's been put off in a corner. He can't even find the bathroom, folks. And the only thing he knows to do is now to pray. And that was transforming of his life. Because when you sometimes, and I pray, it never has to happen to you. But if you don't learn to pray now when you're young, it may take you getting to the hospital before you finally learn to pray. Where God just puts you there and says, "You're ready to talk." You understand what I'm saying? So some of you, you're young. You're not stupid like I was when I was 16. Amen. But if you don't learn to walk with Jesus, the devil will ruin your life. Saul had to be forced to be alone. Now, that 3 days, that was just the beginning. When he got his sight back, guess where Saul went? Out to Arabia. You know what's in Arabia? Sand. There's no Super Values. There's no Tesco's. There's no pennies. Oh, you girls are going to be very depressed. There is nothing. And Saul spends how many years out there? No, 3 years. Yeah. Three. Why in the world was Jesus doing that to him? He's super educated. He's got money. He's got connections. He can do anything he wants. But there's one thing he doesn't have, a walk with Jesus. And what was it that was going to make Saul into Paul? What was going to change this killer into a preacher? It was his time with Jesus. So next time that you find that somebody drags you to church, I don't want to go to church, and your mom says, you're going, as punishment. Where are you, Jaden, Jordan? Yeah. when your mom makes you go to church, that may be God trying to make you great.
Amen.
Because it was when Saul was made to be alone and made to have nobody to help him except Jesus Christ, Jesus said, I'm going to make somebody great out of it. Did Saul become great? And it wasn't because Jesus sprinkled some Twinkie dust over her, or him. Jesus made sure that Saul had time alone with him. And you know, maybe you wake up, you know, maybe you got to go to school, or maybe you wake up early some morning and there's no breakfast on yet, mom hadn't gotten up or anything. That might be God waking you up saying, why don't you spend a few minutes with me? Maybe you come home and all your friends, their phones are off and you can't call them and nobody's available to play. Maybe that's Jesus saying, why don't you spend a few minutes with me? Jesus made sure that Saul had some time. I think he probably is making sure you have some time with him. He started over with Saul. See, Saul had to learn everything from scratch again. He had to start in Genesis and learn everything all over again. And that time just with Jesus Christ, just praying, just talking. You know what prayer is? Talking to God. That's it. You don't have to use fancy words. You don't even have to finish your sentences. He already knows what you're talking about and what you're thinking. Isn't that cool? He humbled him. You know, when you're by yourself, it's very humbling. It's very embarrassing. Nobody loves me. He does. It humbled him. Changed him from being a very popular guy. I mean, when he would come into town, the people say, oh, the great rabbi Saul is here. Oh, let's go see what he has to say. He was so popular. But now, from that moment on in Galatians, he said, I had to get away. I had to let God start all over with me and humble me. And it taught him two great things. As I already said, it taught him how to pray. And it taught him how to trust Jesus for everything. Somebody once said this thing. It's very convicting. But what if you got tomorrow only what you prayed for today? What if you woke up tomorrow and got no food, no water, no friends, nothing good in your life? Everything's just disaster, miserable. Everything's wrong. Your bike is frozen, stuck. It's just rusted out. Your phone has died. Everything's wrong. And you went, I didn't pray about anything. What if you only got tomorrow what you prayed for today? That'd scare you, wouldn't it? See, when Saul was out in that desert, I believe he had to learn to say, Lord, there's no food out here. I'm going to trust you. You have to guide me to where I can find some water. You have to show me where I can find some food. And he learned to trust Jesus Christ. So when God puts you in a hard place, it might just be, and it probably is, so that you learn to say, Lord, I need help. This is not just a test for school. This is a big problem, and I don't know how to get through this thing. I'm going to trust you. The Bible calls this time spent secret prayer. Jesus said, when you compare yourself with the Pharisees would come out to the city street and say, ladies and gentlemen, I am a Pharisee, if you can't tell already. And I feel impressed to pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And as they prayed, everybody would stop, and this holy man would take time for prayer and read off the card. But Jesus said, don't be like that. When you pray, go someplace where nobody sees you. He said, a closet. Now, maybe you got a wardrobe that's big enough for you to get into. I don't. But Jesus said, find you a closet. Now, when your mom's looking for you, she's not going to find you in the closet, is she? Well, maybe she will. I don't know. But listen, the purpose of the closet is so that nobody sees you praying. And you're not going, Mom, don't bother me. I'm praying. That ain't going to work at all, is it? But if you sort of sneak away and you find that special place, you say, I'm going to spend time with Jesus. It's called secret prayer. And this is what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6. When you pray in secret, God blesses you openly. Everybody will go, what happened to him? Man, he made an A on his test. He seems to be doing pretty good. He's gotten rid of all of his spots on his face. He seems to be good looking again. I mean, whatever. Come on, guys, laugh. But here's all of a sudden, God starts blessing, not because you're going around saying, by the way, I'm praying. Oh, I've been praying a lot. That's not how you pray. You pray in secret, but who are you talking to? The one who answers openly. See, Paul got prayers answered. When he prayed for problems, God said, I'll fix them. And that was because Paul learned to spend time just with Jesus alone. And it's called secret prayer. And after that, in Galatians, if you're still in Galatians, look in verse 18. Galatians 1:18. He says, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia, and I returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him. I got to spend 15 days with him. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James the Lord's brother. Verse 23. Sorry, keep going. Verse 20. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. I'm not exaggerating, he says. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, verse 22, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which are in Christ. But they had heard only, listen to his testimony, was known all over the region. He said, when I got up to people I'd never met before, verse 23, they had heard only that he which had persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. Oh, can you see? He was not the same guy. Here comes Saul. If he came in here tonight and he came in, he'd be a little man, probably only about 5 feet tall. And he'd come in and he'd kind of, it depends on what time in his ministry, later on he's pretty beat up. He's got scars and whelps on his back. He probably hobbles along on a limp. He's been through everything imaginable as far as suffering and trials. But as he would come in here, Saul, he would come in and everybody go, that's the guy that used to be a killer. Shh. Can we sit next to him? Is he safe? And as he came in, they go, that's the guy who now preaches the gospel. He was different. What made him so radically different? His time with Jesus. End of story. What made Peter, a fisherman, into a great preacher on Acts chapter 2? What made John such a writer of the Gospel of John in 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Revelation? What changed these fishermen into such great, great preachers? The time they spent with Jesus. The same will be true in you. And he says, look down there, verse 24, and they glorified God in me. I think it's awesome. What he's saying there is, I made God look good. He said, when I got into around other people who were scared of me before, and I sat down and I started to sing the hymns, and somebody would invite me to come up to preach, everybody would go, well, praise God. Look what God can do. Paul says, I made God look good because of his time. 3 years he spent alone with Jesus. Now, how do you make time to be alone with God? These are some thoughts. You can pick 2, 3, 5, 10. Try to implement them. But write these things down. We're just going to rapid fire right through them. First of all, you got to make a place. Side on the bed works for me. My wife knows I scootle out of bed. And I get along this side there and I reach and I hold her hand. And by the side of my bed is where I talk to Jesus. Maybe that's a good place for you. Sometimes it may be when you go for a walk. And it's just you. Maybe take the dog for a walk. Don't talk to the dog. Talk to God. Amen? Spend time alone. You've got to have a place where you and he talk. How many have a treehouse? Anybody have a treehouse? You have a treehouse? I love you. When I was a kid, I had an almost treehouse. And it was a place that I got away. He was actually on the ground. My dad didn't want to put up in the tree. But anyway, he built this house in the back of the back garden there. And it was a place where I and my sister would go and we would hide away, you know. If that's a place that you've got, why don't you take your Bible there with you? Take a little chair. Just talk to the Lord. Make a time. First thing in the morning is, I think, the best for everybody. Throughout the Bible, early in the morning seemed to be the time when people made time for God. You're going to have to make some time for God. Make it first thing in the morning. As soon as you wake up, I know the first thing you want to do is get the Cheerios. First thing you want to do is you know, some of you kids are already drinking coffee. I don't know. But you need to put that off and make time just for you and God. Personally, walk away from ungodly and worldly lusts in your life. What does that mean? That means you can't mix dirt in with your milk. You wouldn't drink the milk, would you? What if you got an older brother, don't you? What if your older brother came over and you're getting ready to drink a big, do you like milk? No, you don't like milk. Do you like a cup of tea? Yeah, okay. So we'll use tea now. Okay, ready? So you can't mix dirt with tea. So here comes, what's your name? You're Aiden. Okay. So here comes Aiden, and Aiden's got this big, beautiful cup of tea. Oh, Mama's just fixed this gorgeous cup of tea. And as he gets ready to sip it, here comes Oshin. And he comes along, and he just dribbles some dirt in it. You would slap him silly, wouldn't you? Of course you would. He said, get that dirt out of my tea, all right? Doesn't belong in there. You don't mix sin in your life and try to spend time with Jesus also. You're going to have to look at your life and say, what am I doing? Who am I hanging around with? What am I thinking? What do I like that Jesus doesn't like? You need to walk away from some of your friends. You need to walk away from some of the things that you're so comfortable doing so that when you spend time with Jesus, Jesus is not going, dude, you got some problems and you got to fix those before we can talk. You understand what I'm saying? Probably not. But anyway, I said it. All right. You need to walk away from some things that are ungodly in your life. Fourthly, you need to stop talking so much. You girls need to listen to this. You just proved my point. Do you know how most people talk? Non-stop. You know, if you're ever going to have some time with the Lord, sometimes you need to just shut up. Just be still. Just be quiet. I'm going to give you some of these thoughts. It may be 10 years before it all comes to you and you go, I know what he meant now. At camp, where you need to slow down and listen to him talk. Because I'm going to tell you how he's going to talk to you in just a moment. But the Bible says in Psalm 46, says, be still and know that I am God. How about another one? Read loads of the Bible. You know, I'd rather listen to him than listen to me. If Jesus came here tonight, would you rather listen to him or to me? Him. Amen. Well, listen, if you got a lot of things you want to talk to God about, I would say make sure you listen to him more. How are you going to hear his voice? Hello? The Bible. So read your Bible. Your time with Jesus is, let him talk to you. We actually are learning that verse, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now, Christ quoted the entire Old Testament almost. So it's the whole word of Christ. It's the whole Bible. So as you read page by page, chapter by chapter, book by book through your Bible, listen to him. Allow yourself to be the only one he's talking to. I wonder. Some of you aren't old enough to do this yet, but when you get older, you'll find yourself doing this. You'll read the Bible and go, oh boy, my brother needs to read this now today. This is for my dad. Bible says, be angry and sin not. My dad needs this verse. Is that a good way to read your Bible?
No.
You know how to read your Bible?
Yeah.
Only you is who he's talking to. Decide to do whatever you read in your Bible. If the Bible says honor your parents, you need to, as soon as you finish, go right up and hug your mom and say, you're the best mom in the world. I don't deserve you. I love you. Thank you for being my mom. Honor your parents. Amen. That's what the Bible says. So you're supposed to do it. Do whatever you read in the Bible. Let's keep going. Fast. Ponder Jesus. You know what it means to ponder something? Somebody give me a definition of ponder. Somebody be smart enough to tell me. Yes, ma'am. I think, it's not very powerful. I mean, think is not exactly what I'm thinking of.
Like stomping?
Stomping?
Or like walking. Would that be another
No. All right. Thought, no. Ponder. What are you going to say? To what?
Muse.
Boy, that's deep. To muse. Yes. How about a simpler word? That was deep. It means to just, yes. Wonder is a wonderful word. To wonder. I was out yesterday. I don't want to say who it was, but he's here tonight. And I'll point at him. No, sorry. We're walking along and he looks out and he goes, Pastor, look at that. I wonder what it is. I said, it's an airplane, all right? It looks like a star. I'm not going to embarrass the person who's doing it, but I'm trying to point to it. No. Anyway, he said, but it looks like a star. And I says, give me about 45 minutes and the sky will be full of stars. You know what stars are, but that's an airplane. But the point is, when you look and you go, I wonder what that is. That's what it means to ponder. It means to, wow, do I understand him? Do I know him? What is Jesus like? He's the creator of the universe. He created every square inch of your life. Every second of time on this earth, he's laid out for you to enjoy and to live for him. And you get to ponder him and wonder, is that what he's like? When you're reading your Bible, when you're praying, just wonder, I'm talking to God. Pray through a list. You ought to have your list, and my list is not with me. You ought to have a list of the important people in your life, like your mom and your dad, your brothers, your sisters. I don't care whether they beat you up or not. They're still important. Amen? Come on. Pray for them. Pray for them. Maybe Jesus wants you to really care about them when they're not praying. They're not even thinking of you. Pray for them. Pray through a list. Get you a smaller list. You don't have to have 400 things. But you need, if you don't have a list, guess what you'll do when you pray? I don't know what to say. Write out something. Argue and wrestle all you want to with him. Did you know it's okay for you to get upset at Jesus and say, God, I don't like that friend at school. You know what the Lord would say? Keep talking. Amen. He can handle you being upset. Go ahead and take all the time to be as frustrated as you want. He'll listen. Are you okay? You all right? All right. Calm down. Stay a while. You know what they found out? They actually asked about 1,000 adults. Are you listening? And they asked them, how long do you pray each day? Anybody want to guess how long the average, not yet, amount of time, the average, not the most, but the average amount of time that 1,000 Christians said they prayed. How long? It's actually 4 minutes is the average amount of time. Half the people prayed less than 4 minutes, and half prayed more. Could have been 5, 6, 7, but the average was 4 minutes. So if you're in my family, and you come along and you say, hey, Dad, I'm your dad, okay? Say, you say, hey, Dad, we've got 3 minutes and 58 seconds. Quick, let's get going. You're only going to spend 4 minutes with me, and I'm your dad, and you're my son or my daughter? Is that a good thing? So 4 minutes with Jesus is not enough. Are you with me? Stay a while. If you grow up and you go away to college, when you come home, guess what your mom's going to want to do with you? Just hug you, hold on to you, and keep you in the kitchen with her all day long. Because she misses you. And Jesus wants you to stay with him for a while, too. So when you get beside the side of your bed, stay a little while. Don't rush off. And worship him. What it means to worship him, I mean, there's 57 different words you could use. But to worship is like what people do to movie stars. You know what people do when they get around a movie star? I'm here. He's right here. I can't believe it. Help me. I'm going to faint. You know what that is? Worship. Yeah. Get all excited about spending time with him. I mean, if you got a chance to spend time with the King of the universe, just say, Lord, I love you. I don't know why you love me, but I just have to say over and over again, I love you, thank you, thank you, thank you for saving me. You know what you're doing? You're telling them how worthy he is. How awesome he is. Ask God to bless somebody else. Oh, God, please bless me. Oh, God, please help me. Oh, God. That's how we normally pray, isn't it? That's okay. Wouldn't it be nice to pray for others, too? And ask God's help on others. There are a lot of people that need prayer. A lot of people who need help from God. You can be a person that can get help from them because you spend time with Jesus. Leave the old you. You spend some time in the Bible. You know what the Bible is like? It's like a good bath. But it's on the inside. Now, what if, this is a terrible illustration, but here's Aiden, and Aiden, Dad says, go up and take a bath. Aiden says, it's not Saturday. And he goes up, and he gets in the water, and he runs the water, and then he splashes down there, I'm in the bath. And Mom says, get washed real good and get behind the ears. And he goes, okay. And he takes. And he gets out of the bathroom and he goes down. And Mom looks and he goes, get right back up there and get a real bath, wouldn't he? Amen? And we come along and we sort of just glance at the Bible. And we kind of like splashing a little bit of water on ourselves. When God wants us to wash and clean up on the inside. If you spend time with Jesus, you'll get a whole lot cleaner. You'll be a whole lot cleaner after you prayed than you were when you started to pray. Make sure you walk away from the angry, bad attitude, lazy, looking at you, kind of person you are. After praying, get up and says, I don't want to live that way. I want to live differently now. Because Paul, was he different or the same? After those 3 years, he was very different. Leave the old you. Two more thoughts. Oh, actually, one more. Have a regular big event in your year where you're really encouraged to get back to a great time of prayer like youth camp. Youth camp is one of those times where you go, man, I want to walk with God. I want to pray like I'm supposed to. So make sure you're here next year. Amen? And make sure, guys, girls, sorry, but next year, guys, you're at men's camp next year. Because that's why we have youth camp. It's that good push, that good encouragement. So you say, yeah, I need to get back right. And some of you need to get back right tonight. You haven't been praying for a long time. Now you go to church because you're dragged there. Yeah, you listen to the preaching. And you're taking notes tonight simply because you're getting points for it. You need to say, Lord, help me spend time just with you. Bow your heads with me, will you? Father, there's a time when your son was walking on this earth and he pulled away from the crowd. Every eye had bowed, every eye closed. He pulled away from the crowd and he got on the side of a rock. I don't know where. But he bowed his head and he started to talk to you. And he kept talking to you. And he prayed for his disciples. He prayed for people who would get saved. He prayed for the devil to be put away and put aside and get out of the way. And as they spent that time in prayer, Father, the disciples watched. And they said in their hearts, they said, oh, I wish we could pray like him. And when your son got up from that prayer time, some of them had the courage to say, Lord, teach us to pray. Well, Paul learned. Boy, it changed his life. I pray we decide tonight to pray too. When we get a chance, everybody's turn off the lights. Before we go to sleep, maybe tonight, we say, Lord, teach me to pray. Help me tomorrow morning to wake up and spend 5 minutes, 10 minutes just with you before I have to run off, go to the bathroom and get dressed and go take a shower and go get breakfast. But help me to talk to you and tell you what's on my heart and think about how good you've been to me and meditate on a scripture. Help me to spend time alone with you. And that's a good prayer for all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.